This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, it is currently 6:13 on this Friday morning. Temperatures, if you average them, are around the lower 40s, highs of 64 today, 54 tomorrow, cooler 57 Sunday, 66 for a high on Sunday, 71 Tuesday, and then Christmas Day looking rainy, 70% chance for showers, highs of 72. Somebody texted and said, spending bill, it's a new day, the citizens slash voters are in charge now, no more pork, Trump's promise, Vivek and Elon are... citizens pitching in an improving government, get used to it, MAGA. Okay, all that sounds great, but you can package crap any way you want, and it's still crap. And I hate to introduce a distinguished man like Dr. Robert Hogan with that, professor and department chair of political science at LSU. But good morning, Dr. Hogan. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
So let me just take this Elon Musk on. He's tweeting, you know, I see tweets that he sends out with the big giant spending bill and says, nobody's read it. Who can vote for this? Who can pass it? But then he tweets things that are just outright false about what's in the bill and what's not, and one specifically about billions for RFK Stadium, when that's not the case at all. It would just turn it back to D.C., but that's out of the bill now. So he's engaging in disinformation while people are thinking that it's a new day, that all of a sudden everything's going to be, there's going to be no waste in government. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but they have to look at this realistically, Professor. And can you begin to take us through the process here? You're a distinguished man. Take the anger out of me here and kind of walk us through it logically.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole process here, I mean, Elon Musk is, I mean, there's a difference between campaigning and putting things on social media and governing. And I think this is what we're seeing right now in Washington is these things are coming into conflict right now. I mean, what has happened, of course, is that the Republicans, along with Democrats, negotiated a stopgap spending measure that would keep the government funded through March. And it's something that has been that the Democrats and Republicans have been working on for some time. The normal budget process that hasn't been used for a while and hasn't been used to any extent really since 2019, is not being used. But a continuing resolution is just basically keeping the government funded, having it do what it's doing, keeping people paid, keeping the troops paid, keeping all the things going that need to be going, and deferring issues such as the debt ceiling, those sorts of things, into the new administration. And the idea was, Democrats went along with, and so did Republicans this past fall, was let's wait on all these big decisions until a new administration takes hold. And we don't know which side is going to win. So let's let their priorities then take hold. But in December, they always knew they would have to have just a continuing resolution. And everything was going on track for that to pass. And then at the last minute, Musk says, wait a second, stop, we can't do this. And then Trump chimes in, yes, here's a new condition. We want you to increase the debt ceiling for 2 years, adding a new condition to this continuing resolution on spending. And this blew the whole thing up. The continuing resolution was dead. So the Republicans scrambled yesterday and put together a new package that included this the debt ceiling being increased for 2 years. It was not acceptable by a majority. It needed two-thirds of the vote. All the Democrats but two voted against it. And more importantly, 38 Republicans voted against it. And these were the conservatives, the people that didn't want to increase the debt ceiling.
What I'm trying to understand, Professor. Who's on whose side here? So the conservative Republicans voted against the Trump plan to increase the debt ceiling. Is that accurate?
That's correct. They viewed it as a way they have used for a very long time the debt ceiling as a way of pushing back on the Democrats who wanted to spend more in many cases. And they said, no, we're not going to do this. Trump wants to do it now because he recognizes that a lot of the things in his agenda are going to require a blowing up of the debt ceiling. And so he wants that extra. He wants the ability to spend and also or basically to borrow more in order to spend and to cut taxes in the way that he wants. He doesn't want to be saddled with the blame of raising the debt ceiling. He would like that decision made during the Biden administration. So he has conservatives against him now. This is a bit of a mess. And you got to think, why would a new president coming in want to start off this way? And I think the answer to that question is this is Trump's MO all along. It is sowing chaos. And at the very last minute, a deal probably will be made. And then he will try to take credit for it, even though he may not always get in the end what he ultimately wants. It's difficult keeping up with you know what strategy he's using, but I think there is some method to the madness.
See, part of what bothers me about Elon Musk and the social media and the people that, first of all, the stuff that he put out a handful of things that are just patently false. After
correct
sending out a tweet that nobody read the bill. Well, I don't know if he read it or didn't read it or was just making stuff up. Either way, but he's on both sides of the fence there. The other thing is that people automatically assign their trust to Elon Musk and believe that he's working in the best interest of the country. Likewise, Vivek Ramaswamy. And I got to believe that both, at least just in my opinion, are working for what's best for Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy and not necessarily the country because they weren't elected or took any oath to do anything. Am I missing something, Professor, or not?
No, you're right. But they do promote an ideology that is very popular. And it sounds, and it's something that's very enticing, right? If we just cut the government, right, this whole idea of creating, you know, the Doge agency here, that there's just so much inefficiency in government. It's all a waste of money. And if we just went in and cut things, and for them, I think that they would say, it doesn't matter if the government shuts down. Isn't that a good thing? It's not doing anything anyway. And again, that gets back to what I said initially. I mean, that is an ideology. It's a bumper sticker. It's a campaign slogan. But it's not governing. And if you actually look to see what government does on a daily basis, keeping your food safe, keeping your water clean, all these things that government does, the federal government does, do you really want to stop those things? And do you really think that they are wasteful? I think there's an ideology that believes that. But I think in practical terms, it's not a society I think most people would want to live in, and even most Republicans when they stop to think about it.
I think what we're talking about here is campaigning as opposed to governing, like you just said, with bumper stickers, and also populism at its worst form, because it's not even by an elected official. It's just by people that have never been involved in government before that think they know, but they don't. And for people that want to know, we're like, okay, well, who cares if the government shuts down? Well, guess what? During one of the recent government shutdowns, more than 42,000 immigration hearings were canceled. So you can't be on both sides of this. You have to understand that if you think we have a huge problem in this country with immigration and that something needs to be done, well, these things need to be funded. And if you shut the government down, those kinds of things could go away. So, and the other thing, Professor, when we come back, we'll talk about the politics of all of this and Mike Johnson and his speakership and who's looking to do what here. And if y'all have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. More with Dr. Robert Hogan, chair of the Department of Political Science at LSU. It is currently 627 here at WWL, talking to Dr. Robert Hogan, department chair of political science at LSU. And again, some text here from just like two numbers, people that are passionate in the MAGA movement and everything else. And that's fine. But somebody texted in and said, do you question Musk's intelligence or his ability to figure this out? If so, then you are lost. And that, in a way, encapsulates what I'm feeling, Professor, because what I'm seeing is, OK, I understand people loving President Trump, and he was the president before, and he knows how government works. And if you want to just agree with everything he says and attach yourself at the hip, that's fine. But when it comes to Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, they don't really have any experience in government. So when somebody texted in and said, do you question his intelligence or his ability to figure this out? Well, I don't know anything about his intelligence. I do question his motives. And I know that he tweeted out some falsehoods about this bill that were not in there and had some results as a result of it, or some reaction as a result of it. So I don't know. Take me through this. Are people just kind of saying, OK, well, if I like President Trump, so therefore, if President Trump aligns himself with these people, then I'm aligning myself with them as well?
Well, I mean, I think that Trump does share their ideology and perspective on governing. I mean, I think people like Elon Musk and even Donald Trump come from a world that is a corporate world in which they are at the top. They are the decider. That is not the way democratic governing works. It means that you are part of a process. You have to negotiate. You don't always get what you want. What may seem obvious to you and efficient, fair, and smart may not be. Actually, when you learn more about some aspect of public policy or some aspect of the conditions that people face when you're in their shoes. And democracy is about give and take. It is about understanding other people's perspectives on things. And that is a very different worldview than what it looks like, I think, from the top of corporate leadership. And you don't just snap your fingers and things get done. We saw, I mean, Musk did that at that what used to be called Twitter, now X, and there have been some major changes in that organization. A lot of people would say are not necessarily good ones. And so the product that you produce from this sort of top-down approach may not necessarily be the best kind. You know, that kind of perspective, I would argue, is very much authoritarian in its outlook. And we could go that route. And I think there's a segment of the American public that would like that. They think things are so messed up that you need a strong authoritarian leader who will come in and say, hey, this is the way things are going to be. There are a lot of other people, and I would like to think probably a lot more, who think, well, you know, democracy has worked pretty well. It's not always been perfect, certainly in the United States for the several hundred years it's existed, but it's the way we have developed through these institutions that have been here for a very long time, and processes that have developed over time, show some respect for them and utilize those to get things done, not this outside authoritarianism.
Thank you, Professor. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We don't talk to you. Professor Robert Hogan, chair of the Department of Political Science at LSU.